Hello, everyone. Before we start today's podcast, some exciting news for you. You can experience the Inside Politics podcast live in Dublin on May 16th when Hugh Linehan, Jennifer Bray and I will be joined by Cliff Young of Ipsos, one of America's top pollsters, to talk about the US election, our own local and European elections and much more. It's a breakfast event kicking off at 8 a.m. in Trinity College. If you'd like to attend, you can get tickets at irishtimes.com/events. That's irishtimes.com/events. I hope we see lots of you there.
That's you have it.
Well, is Frank or 39 now?
40. Didn't you have his
40?
He's 40 now.
That is 40. It's last year over in that.
Oh, my invite must have got lost in the post.
Did he?
Were you there, Harry? Yeah,
okay. No, I don't think any of the politicians. Barry Egan might have been there.
Yeah.
I've always said that the election should happen at the best time for the country. Now is that time.
Oh, come, nobody ever reads manifestos during the election, Sean, you know that.
Look, they've taken our policies. They are bereft of policies.
For every person that likes you, there have to be people that hate you in equal measures.
This is Election Daily, a special series from the Inside Politics podcast team at the Irish Times. I'm Hugh Linehan. Every evening we are here with the latest on the general election campaign. And with me today, the indomitable tag team of Harry McGee and Mary Minahan. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hi, Hugh.
I noticed in my occasional wanders across the newsroom floor today that you two were seated facing each other. You on the news desk, Mary, where all the exciting things happen, or alternatively, where dreams go to die. I'm never quite sure which. And Harry on the live blog desk, where I think you should have some, you know, larger chair, something like something hydraulics, looking very science fiction. You could be the Captain Uhuru to Mary's Captain Kirk.
At least an Xbox is the very least of my requirement. Management have rebuffed all my requests so far. Yeah, it's been an interesting 24 hours. The live debate last night produced some talking points that continued throughout today, and they were kind of unusual. There weren't things that you might expect: the economy, health, housing, the big issues that were identified in our poll. It were two things: this notion of a grand coalition between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil that took pace today. But the thing that really captured most coverage today, and which has proved to be the biggest talking point, was that kind of pregnant pause that Taoiseach had last night when he was asked about his drug take, and then finally referred obliquely to a hot press interview. And then we had to wait until we read it to find out that as a student he may have taken cannabis, and that prompted what happened today.
So Harry, did you smoke weed at college?
I'm just giving you a pregnant pause like Leo's. I think anyone of my age or younger who didn't smoke weed in college would be a little bit strange in my estimation. I think most, 95% of people did, and of course I did.
I think I saw a Twitter poll this afternoon which asked which was more embarrassing from your college days, having smoked weed or having been a member of Young Fine Gael, and I think it was the Young Fine Gael won by a country mile. Mary, what do you think? Is this just a sort of the kind of silly little thing that blows up for a while, or is there any meaning to it? I mean, the reason it came up was because of some very serious questions about the drugs trade in modern Ireland.
Yeah, like what I always say about drugs and politics is every sinner has a future and every saint has a past, you know. And I didn't have my 10-year-old copies of Hot Press to hand last night, no disrespect to that fine magazine, which brightened up our youth, Harry, didn't it? Obviously we went back and read what he said. And yes, as Harry says, it was a really awkward moment in a debate. But as to who Leo Varadkar is now, he's a very healthy, very health-conscious 40-year-old man. He's also very career conscious, and he's in the middle of a general election campaign and is now doing all he can to close down discussion of this contentious topic. And what he's been saying today is that he wants to attend the march in Drogheda on Saturday. And as you've referred to, there is a very, very serious problem there with the hard drugs trade. So, you know, it's probably wise for him to point to that.
And Fiacca Kelly was out talking today to the Taoiseach about this.
Taoiseach, in the debate last night, you were asked about past drug use, and you referred to a Hot Press interview, I think from 2010, in which you said you smoked cannabis in the past and other issues. It was vague on perhaps other drug use. Can you give us a further explanation? Is there anything else you'd like to say? Was it just cannabis? Was there anything else?
Yeah, you know, I answered that question in the past, and I answered it truthfully. I'm not going to go into any more detail. You know, I'm conscious that I'm the Taoiseach of the country to a certain extent, I'm a little bit of a role model, and you know, I don't want to be doing anything or saying anything that in any way promotes drug use or suggests to young people or the students in here that it's in any way okay. So I won't be saying any more.
Do we have clarity on, you know, have you ever taken cocaine or
anything? That's.
Do you think the question is unfair, Taoiseach?
No, I don't. But I have answered it before and in the past, so I have nothing more to add.
Harry, listen to that. I do feel a little bit sorry for the Taoiseach. Yes, there is a serious issue underlying this, as Mary just said. But there's also a kind of juvenile element to the way that people are talking about drug use here, which I thought we'd got past at the point when maybe when Barack Obama said that he did cocaine sometimes when he was at college. Maybe we could just grow up a bit in terms of talking about these realities.
Well, maybe we're lagging a little bit behind the United States and we're just at the Bill Clinton "I didn't inhale" stage. We haven't actually got over that hump. Yes, I think you're right. I think that, you know, we live in a complex, urbanised society where teenagers and young adults are exposed to drugs and experiment with drugs, and very few don't. I mean, some don't, and some are paragons of all virtues, but a lot are human, and they do. I think he was reasonable, but I think he kind of talked himself into a difficulty last night, and because he was so hesitant in terms of describing it, people thought maybe he had more to say, and he gave a clarification today that seemed to be 100%, but I think that he will be asked again and asked to clarify his clarification. So I think it might dog him a little bit in the campaign.
Well, we'll see what happens. Something very different in the debate, and there was a lot in it. Myself and Jen and Fiach did our hot take immediately after it last night. But obviously these things tend to marinate a bit more. And one of the things that struck me thinking about it today, Mary, was this ongoing thing that Fine Gael are doing, trying to point back to the record of the last Fianna Fáil administration to say you can't trust them. And this is not a new thing for Fine Gael. They did it in the last election and it actually didn't get a lot of purchase. Is there maybe a sort of counterintuitive possibility that now that we're 10 years on, it may have more purchase because you're actually reminding people of something that they might feel, oh God, I forgot that. You know?
Yeah, I think you do have a point there. And, you know, there was a very noticeable change of tone, wasn't there, from Leo Varadkar, in that I thought he finished the debate very strongly. There were a few wobbles, but this humble tone, which veered into humble brag a little bit towards the end, you know, we know it's not enough. It's like those irritating adverts you hear from banks and so on. Like homelessness is something we let people down on. I'm absolutely willing to accept that we got things wrong and we've let people down. I deeply regret. I'm deeply sorry about trolleys. So this is the strategy of we'll hold our hands up on all these issues, which I thought let Micheál Martin come in strongly to say, well, why didn't the government take preemptive action over something like the Winter Health Service, you know? And then you had Varadkar saying he wasn't able to express himself as well as his opponent, judge me by my deeds and not by my words. But, you know, he did show the studs occasionally, as you say, like that comment about Simon Coveney being probably the best politician Cork has produced in a generation, that was aimed to wound on so many levels, and it was pre-prepared. And also he turned some weaknesses, Varadkar turned some weaknesses into a virtue, a negative into a positive when he talked about, this is my first election as leader, it's Micheál's third, you know, because obviously the Taoiseach has never been elected by the populace, if you like, only by his own party. So, and he also said that our coalitions, which, by which he means Fine Gael's, ended amicably, and yours, he says, referring to Micheál Martin, ended in scandal. But of course, the interesting thing, if we're to talk about the next government, is they both are courting the same set of partners, aren't they? Like Leo Varadkar said last night, he was interested in old partners like Labour and maybe new partners like the Greens. And that's essentially what Micheál Martin has been saying when he's been out and about today as well.
So, Harry, the thing that struck me was that I think one thing the debate revealed, which we knew already, is there isn't a huge amount of policy difference between these two parties. The word "not a cigarette paper" between them has been used. It has a different resonance after that incident last night. But there's an elaborate kind of game of jujitsu going on. And what Leo Varadkar was trying to do last night, and I think he did with some success, is to say, actually, Fianna Fáil is not a party of change. Fianna Fáil has a bad history. You can't trust Fianna Fáil. And also, Fianna Fáil is quite like us, because he had to do quite a delicate manoeuvre, say, well, they have been supporting us for the last 4 years, so how can they be the party of change?
Yeah, I mean, the debate centred more on probity and performance than it did on policy. And I think Leo Varadkar was quite successful in doing that. And that was very noticeable. I mean, he went in with stock lines. He arrived like a rock star with his entourage surrounding him, all his top ministerial team. It was kind of unusual to see. And then he kind of came with the pre-prepared lines about Brexit. We're at halftime of Brexit. Then trying to compare Fianna Fáil unfavourably with Fine Gael. Coalitions have all been boom and bust, and they've all ended in failure and attrition. So he was kind of saying that when Fine Gael has been there, has been responsible, and his probity has been beyond question. And again, he contrasted that really well, that when he was confronted with a failure by this coalition, he put his hands up immediately and he apologised. And he said, we would like to do more. And then he'd go in, but we want to have the chance to do more. And then immediately afterwards, he'd pivot. And then he'd go in for a searing attack on Micheál Martin. And Micheál Martin is quite an assertive debater. But he was out-muscled last night by Leo Varadkar, who was very aggressive, sometimes too aggressive. I didn't really like his use of the word deputy throughout, which I thought was a little bit condescending.
Mary, the Banquo's ghost at this particular feast was Mary Lou MacDonald, and there was an awful lot of focus on the absence of Sinn Féin. But there were some references to some of the other parties who, as we say, you know, may end up in government mm-hmm. the next time. A sort of an interesting sideways swipe by both of them to say the Greens wouldn't be bossing them around, and there'd be none of these, you know, site value taxes or anything like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's right. And Micheál Martin kind of went on the attack against John Paul Phelan from Fine Gael, who has described some of the Greens as nutters, and he found that terribly disrespectful. But Leo Varadkar, I suppose, didn't shy away entirely from some of his party colleagues' worries about the Greens. You know, he says that the Greens have been right about things, some things, before others got there and caught up with them. But, you know, some people are worried about some of their policies, he says. So, you know, it was really it was interesting. Actually, I thought the approach to the Greens.
They seem to be getting some blowback from their target groups who are resisting some of the more extreme things that the Greens and others are advocating. And I think they're reflecting that. They're talking about this garden tax that anybody who has a big garden in Dunleary will object to that. So they're obviously finding out that to pursue the Greens or try to follow the Greens is not going to be a profitable motive in terms of this election.
Yeah, it was interesting, Micheál Martin today calling the Greens and Labour parties the centre. You know, I don't know really how Saoirse McHugh, for instance, would find herself described as a centrist. I don't think she'd be too happy about that. You know, it's very interesting where the big parties are trying to position the little parties.
No, Saoirse McHugh, I think, is looking fine to be Ireland's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, the way things are going. We're going to talk about some of the other small parties in a second. But first, let me just remind you again that you can get unlimited access to journalism from the Irish Times by signing up for a digital subscription at irishtimes.com/subscribe for the remarkable price of just €1 for the first month, which is less than the price of a packet of crisps. And it's much healthier for you as well. And it's also packed with all sorts of good stuff and not just stuff that's good for you. So remember, that's irishtimes.com/subscribe. Now, People Before Profit, Harry, had their launch of their manifesto yesterday. And I was reading Miriam Lord about them, and I was looking at the photograph, and Paul Murphy was there. Paul Murphy, up until recently, was in Solidarity, which is in an alliance with People Before Profit, but he's not in Solidarity anymore. He's his own party called Rise. But now he's there at their launch. It's like some kind of teenage who's going out with who kind of thing.
Yeah, the smaller the party, the more complicated and convoluted and problematic and difficult it is to describe what exactly is going on. Paul Murphy left Solidarity, or the Socialist Party, earlier on this year. There was a difference between him and his colleagues in relation to the direction of the party. I think Paul Murphy has been inspired by kind of populist movements in the past couple of years, everything from Syriza at its beginning, Podemos in Spain, the movement that grew up around Bernie Sanders in the States, Extinction Rebellion, and Momentum. There's no doubt that if Paul Murphy were living in Britain, that he would be a member of Momentum, and he sees potential in these mass movements. The difficulty is that they don't share all of their policies and ideals with the Socialist Party, and the Socialist Party is pretty ideologically conservative in terms of they don't want to change, and they don't like they will make pacts, and they will make tactical and strategic pacts with other groups. But in terms of its own policies and advancing its own agenda, it is pretty ideologically orthodox. I mean, there's an orthodoxy there that they cleave to. And Paul Murphy wanted to depart from that, and then he departed. So now he's part of the kind of the bigger bloc, Solidarity, People Before Profit. He's Rise, but he's not actually, Rise isn't included in the title. But then we see the phenomenon that he's running in Dublin Southwest, and lo and behold, Solidarity has put a candidate up against him in Dublin Southwest, even though they're both part of the same bloc. And he's not too happy about that. He thinks it's going to impact on him. And it is going to impact on him. Richard Boyd Barrett and Solidarity are saying that, you know, it's the left-wing constituencies all of Sandra Fey's votes, if she's eliminated before him, will go to him. And that's not quite true. Some of those votes will seep away. And the parties, the two sides of the coin, it's almost like a kind of divorced couple who are living in the same house because they can't afford to live anywhere else. They've occasionally put up candidates against each other. And in Dublin Bay North, for example, Michael O'Brien was up against John Lyons. And they're both, one was People Before Profit, the other was Solidarity. And the effect that has is that it essentially split the vote. And it really, and maybe John Lyons might have had a good chance of getting in 2016 if he had been standing alone.
So and now it's split again because John Lyons is standing as an independent. So split, because it's like an amoeba cell of some sort. Listen, you're all going to have to wait as listeners for our post-election podcast series on recent developments in Marxist-Leninist theory to get to the bottom of this. But I mean, finally, Mary, I mean, none of this can be good for what people derisively sometimes call the hard left, which I don't like very much. But this kind of aggregation of groups.
I don't know. I don't think we should fear fragmentation. You know, I think the people that Harry's talking about there are individuals with, you know, a strong brand in their own constituency and in many cases a really strong track record of working on local issues for local people. So I suppose, you know, a lot of them aren't aspiring to get into government, but if we think about what the next government is going to be, you know, you sort of can't rule anything out at the moment. We could be talking about a grand coalition. I'm not entirely convinced Sinn Féin is not going to be part of this next government. So it's a very interesting question to think who the key figures in the opposition will be next time round. So I suppose that is where the people we've just been talking about see themselves.
Mary, Harry, thanks very much indeed for coming in. Thanks also to our producer, Declan. Remember, you can subscribe to us in all the usual places. You can find us at irishtimes.com/podcast as well. You can mail us at politicalpodcast@irishtimes.com. And you can find all of us on Twitter somewhere or other. And we'll be back very soon. Until then, thanks for listening.